And now, folks, get ready to smile again with Radio's Home Folks, Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer. That was the opening sentence by the announcer at the beginning of each 15-minute Vic and Sade radio program. For 10 years during the 1930s, Vic and Sade was the most popular domestic comedy show on radio, averaging about 7 million listeners per show. That is remarkable when you consider the population of the United States at the time was about 123 million people. That would be equivalent to a listening audience of nearly 19 million people based on the current U.S. population. That is huge. The program ran from 1932 to 1944, with all broadcast on NBC except for the last year or two, which was carried by CBS. Vic and Sade Gook were played by Art Van Harvey and Bernardine Flynn. They lived in a little house halfway up the next block in Cooper, Illinois, 40 miles from Peoria. The Gook's son, Rush, was played mostly by Bill Idelson. There were a number of characters with strange names, some of whom were actually played by actors, but most, like Lottie Sterenzi, who was Vic's secretary, Jake Gumpox, who was the garbage man, Smelly Clark, who was Rush's friend, Ruthie Stembottom, Sade's friend who often attended wash rag sales at Yamilton's department store, Ishigan Fishigan of Sishigan, Michigan, who always called Vic long distance, and Robert and Slobbert Hink, who are identical twins, who would occasionally send Vic postcards from unusual places. None of these characters were actually heard on the air. They were just mentioned in the script. Now, Vic worked at plant number 14 of the Consolidated Kitchenware Company. Uncle Fletcher always hung out at the Bright Kentucky Hotel. Why? To watch the trains go by. Occasionally, there would be an end-of-the-show credit that would say, Sade's Gowns by Yemelson's Department Store, Illinois. Those are things people remembered about the series that made it very unique. On this track, you will hear two more Vic and Sade programs edited back-to-back with an old-time commercial in between, and the programs are Hot Soup and Man Caught in a Revolving Door. And this show is about dialogue. It's all about dialogue. Focus on the dialogue and you will be very smartly entertained. Even today, some 87 years since the series began. Thanks for listening to Vic and Sade. Check out the playlist for lots more and more to come. My name is John Lovering and this is Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program.
Well, sir, Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook are in the living room as we join them at the small house halfway up in the next block now, and the former is standing beside the library table removing his overcoat. He's just this moment arrived home from the office, and he's saying jestily,
"This is the kind of weather that puts pep in a guy.
Getting colder, Al?"
"Much. Atmosphere is charged with icy invigoration."
"How's your sniffle?"
"I haven't sniffled a sniffle since the sniffle you heard me sniffle this noon."
"Sniffles is sick, Miss Warnin."
"My sniffle was a false alarm. I never felt better in my life. We get any mail?"
"None to speak of. Circular from Yamilton's advertised the wash rag sale, and the gas bill was off. Say, I saw Edna Gritch in the grocery store today."
"How's Edna?"
"Fine. Had quite a bit to say about Myrtle Geller and her man. I guess they're not getting along. According to Edna, Myrtle throws it up to him. He can't read and write. She always was kind of a sharp-talking woman."
"I hear the patter of tiny feet."
"Rush."
"Hi."
"Hi."
"Don't come in here, please. I'm taking a bath."
"Okay."
"You'd think Myrtle's man had learned to read and write. He's bright enough. Edna was saying she thinks he really can read and write, but just don't let on. Funny way to do."
"Yeah. Now, take me, for instance. I can play tunes on the pipe organ blindfolded, but I keep my talent a secret because if it ever got out to the public, they'd demand me."
"What I got."
"What is it?"
"Hot soup."
"Where'd you get it?"
"Miss Brayton. Here you go."
"For me?"
"Here's a bowl of hot soup for your papa, and I hope he feels better soon."
"Miss Brighton say that?"
"What's the idea, pray?"
"Oh, my.
I was walking along the alley on my way home from school, and Miss Brighton stuck her head out the kitchen door."
"I happened to mention to her this afternoon you acted like you were working up a cold."
"So I get hot soup, huh?"
"She's worse than Miss Donahue with her hot soup."
"Miss Donahue waltzes over with hot soup before a guy can jump in his nightgown."
"What did Miss Brighton say when she gives you this?"
"Here's a bowl of hot soup for your papa, and I hope he feels better soon."
"Oh, my.
I bet you told her your poor old husband was suffering the agonies."
"I never neither. I just barely mentioned you and your sniffle. She asked how we were all feeling, and just more to make talk than anything else. I said you'd sniffled a couple of times this noon and I hoped you weren't working up a cold because sniffles is generally a warning. That's all I said.
Well, anyway, I'm ahead of snort of hot soup.
People are running this hot soup business in the ground. All in the world, I told Miss Brighton, was that you had sniffled a couple times.
Balloon ascension over horse blanket. Cut to the pantry and fetch your father a tablespoon. I will sample Ma Brighton's hot soup.
Okay. Running this hot soup business in the ground, people are. Why, goodness, this keep up.
Don't worry.
Pretty soon.
Kitchen doorbell's ringing.
Go see who it is, Rush.
I might be wanted on the phone here.
Well, answer the phone, then.
Okay. In all likelihood, it's Bluetooth Johnson or Milton Wells.
Might possibly be Leland Richards.
Yes, indeed. Might possibly be Leland Richards. Hello? Hello, Miss Dembottom.
All right.
Just fine, thanks.
All right.
Yes, getting much colder. I noticed that
Give me that.
Miss Dembottom.
Give me that and go see who's at the back door.
I'm connecting you with my mother, Miss Dembottom. Civilization has sunk pretty low when it comes...
Who's at that back door? Yes, lady. Why, all right, why? No. Where'd you hear that? Really? Well, forevermore. She heard you were saying...
Baby.
Miss Beeman, huh? Well, did she say... Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Funny. Yeah. Well, he's sitting here feeling fine. Yeah. Strange the stuff that gets around. Uh-huh. Well, thanks for calling, Ruthie. You bet. All right. All right, lady. Goodbye. How you come for that?
Who gave her the cheerful information I was ill?
Miss Beeman.
I don't think Miss Beeman and myself have ever had the pleasure of an introduction.
Presides over on West Elm Street. Can't imagine how she'd ever hear anything concerning...
Listen to what Walter's saying.
Hot soup?
Uh-huh.
Not more hot soup?
Yes, sir.
Hey, now.
I'm a very lucky boy to have...
Who's at the door?
Miss Dono.
Is that soup for Gal?
Yeah.
Where'd she hear he was sick?
She didn't. She saw me coming along the alley carrying a bowl of soup and figured out Gov was sick. Somebody must be sick. Otherwise, why the hot soup? It can't be Rush because there he is walking along the alley hale and hearty. It can't be Sade because I saw her this afternoon and she was feeling fine. Must be Vic. Okay, I'll walk to the kitchen stove and flop him up some hot soup. Gov, here's some hot soup.
Thanks.
People mean well doing this kind of trash, but a person gets a little tired.
A double one, Jane. Russell Duncan, no doubt.
Wish I had a tablespoon.
I'll get you one directly, Gov. Hello? Hello, Miss Adel.
She heard I kicked the bucket.
Feeling great, Miss Adel.
All right.
And yourself?
All right, Rush.
Oh, she's right here handy. One second, Miss Adel. Miss Adel.
Bring Papa a tablespoon of Lake Trout.
Okay.
Hello there. Just Andy. Miss Adel, did you hear that too?
Kitchen door, Aaron speaking.
Well, who told her? Oh. Oh, uh-huh. Miss Adel, he's healthy as can be. Yeah. No, here's the thing. Early this afternoon, I was chatting with Miss Brighton, and just more to make talky talk than anything else, I said my husband had sniffled at the dinner table, and I was afraid maybe he might be working up a cold. Now, that's all I said, and all in the world, I said. Golly, yes. I'll say. Well, thanks for calling, Miss Heddle. Yes. You bet. All right. Goodbye.
She hear I kicked the bucket?
Heard you were sick. Trogle told her. Seems Miss Trogle talked with Miss Oglethorpe, and Miss Oglethorpe said... She didn't say...
Hot soup.
No.
Hot soup, friend.
Oh, my.
The hot soup pumps are primed. I can expect to be inundated.
Who brought
us? Just lied. Miss Harris sent him over. Now, may I present you with a bowl of hot soup?
Sure. Makes my third hot soup. Did you bring a tablespoon?
No.
Well, personally, I will have cold soup.
I'll go get you a tablespoon.
Wait, what did Mr. Fred say?
Miss Harris sent me over with this hot soup for your father and said she hoped he'd soon get well.
George, the bullet that choked Billy Patterson.
Sometimes at dusk when the last faint light of day fades and pale blue ribbons across the horizon, I lay a dream in the
dark.
I'll get it.
Won't you go fetch your poor sick father's tablespoon cup?
Sure.
Hello? Oh, yes, Miss Keeper. He's fine. No, he's fine as can be. And none of us are ill. No. No, that's a mistake. I guess Miss Brighton got started around. Uh-huh. Sure. Well, thanks for calling, Miss Keeper. Certainly. All right. All right, Miss Keeper. Bye.
Screw down my coffin lid, kiddo. The light hurts my eyes.
And she said, how's Mr. Cook?
Huh?
Miss Caperton, how's Mr. Cook? All tight in the throat, scared.
My gosh.
Darn the thing you ever heard?
Yeah.
I tell Miss Brighton my husband sniffled at the dinner table. She tells the next person she meets Mr. Cook has a cold. That person tells another person Mr. Cook has a bad cold. Then it's a very bad cold. Then Mr. Cook is sick. Then Mr. Cook is awful. Then he's awful, awful. Then he's not expected to live.
I do.
Then...
Oh, goody, goody, that's too...
No.
I do, Fred.
Oh, Miss Scott?
Miss Brighton's come.
This is getting ridiculous.
People must have fallen all over each other out and back, Mr. Haas, too.
Here's a boy I had soup for you, Father, and I hope he's soon back on his feet.
Lay it on the library table with the rest.
Okay.
Our suggestion is beginning to work.
How do you mean?
A quarter of an hour ago, I felt great. I said I felt great. Remember me saying I felt great?
Yeah.
Well, now I don't seem to feel so great. Every half-wit and their brother standing around insisting the guy is about to topple over in his grave makes the guy begin to be conscious of vague yet disturbing symptoms. My stomach hurts me, and my head seems a trifle feverish. Of course, my chest is a...
Doorbell, Dan.
Front one this time.
Yeah. I can see to the window who it is.
Ms. Elder?
No, Ms. Call.
Is she carrying something?
Uh-huh.
Hot soup?
Hot soup.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up to the next block.
My complexion's so bad, I hate to go out.
Don't be a square. Try Ting, the faster way to clear up pimples.
Yes, doctors' half-face tests prove Ting medicated cream dries up pimples more effectively than any other product tested. Here's why. Boys and girls have overactive oil glands. Excess oil clogs pores, causes pimples. But Ting blots up oil faster, more completely than other products. In lab tests, Ting completely absorbed oil in 15 minutes. Hours later, other products still had not. No, hiding pimples won't help heal them. No mere cover-up can work like Ting's antiseptic medication. Remember, doctors' half-face tests prove Ting better in every case, better than any other remedy tested. Applied at bedtime, greaseless, stainless Ting dries to oil-absorbing powder that clings all night, even helps heal acne-type blemishes. Don't let externally caused pimples spoil your fun. Get Ting Medicated Cream, T-I-N-G. See thrilling improvement overnight or money back.
Well, sir, it's a few minutes past 12 o'clock as our scene opens now, and here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook. Since our friends aren't in the kitchen partaking their noonday meal, it's our immediate inference that the meat's not done, which is exactly the case. Listen.
Sadie, I have issued my ultimatum for the last time. Repair above stairs, if you please, and pack your valise.
Oh, that joke gets tiresome.
Don't try to brazen it out, madam.
Mailman brought a postal card from Bess this morning.
And don't seek to evade the issue. I've been a weak, easy-going man in the past, Sadie, but I've come home to find the meat not done too often. You may take your clothes and a sum of money and quit the premises ere the sun sets in the heavens.
Same old joke gets tiresome after a while. Meat ought to be done in 15 minutes or so.
Aha! You come right out and admit the meat's not done. You stand there calmly and with no blush of shame and inform your poor husband that the meat is not...
Oh, stop, for goodness sake. Bessie says in her postal card they had a wind in Carberry that'd blow your hat off. Almost a tornado. Wind, snow, rain, sleet, and everything else. The sleet went to Walter's kneecap just like it always does. Suffered 2 days. Real sharp pains. I guess
Hi, people.
Oh, that poor little boy.
What?
Hi.
Come in, Rush. I say that poor little boy. There's no dinner for him. He must be told the meat's not done. I dread to see the disappointment on his baby face when he learns
Bring
his
the
mother...
postal card that's on the buffet, Willie.
Hear the big news?
Bring the postal card that's on the buffet.
Okay. You people hear the big news?
No. Somebody telephoned you right after you left for the office this morning.
Yeah, P.Z. Greach. He got a hold of me, all right.
Who's P.Z. Greach?
A gink from Davenport, Iowa.
Had an awful sing-song voice. First, I thought it was Ruthie acting the dunce. Mr. Victor, go up there. Where can I get in touch with Mr.
Brick Mushman's in the hospital.
Did you bring the postal card?
Yeah. Brick Mushman's in the hospital.
No.
Got taken to the hospital yesterday afternoon. I'm astonished you haven't heard about it. Bluetooth Johnson told me the news when I first arrived at school this morning.
What's the matter?
By George, Mom, you won't believe me when I tell you what happened.
Well, what happened?
He got his head caught in a revolving door.
Yeah?
I wouldn't believe Bluetooth for a while. See, I've been talking about guys getting their head caught in revolving doors for many years now. I've even learned to imitate guys getting their head caught in revolving doors. And here, by George, it goes to work and happens. You'd be interested in hearing the facts?
Yeah.
You know the center street entrance to Hamilton's store?
Yeah.
You know the revolving door that's there?
Yeah.
That was the scene of the tragedy.
Brickmush man badly hurt?
Badly hurt enough so they dragged him to the hospital.
He's not seriously injured, is he, Sam?
Seriously injured enough so they dragged him to the hospital.
I mean, he's not on the verge of death, is he?
He's on the verge of death enough so they dragged him to the hospital.
Oh, for Pete's sake, you sound like a parrot.
This is hardly the time to laugh, Gov. The Brickmush man is suffering from a deep scalp wound.
How deep a scalp wound is it?
It's a deep enough scalp wound so they dragged him to the hospital.
You do sound foolish, Willie.
Okay.
How sick is he?
I don't believe you people are really interested.
I asked you a question. How sick is the Brickmush man?
Sick enough, sir, they dragged him to the hospital.
Have all the fun you want, Gov.
Will you answer my question?
The Brickmush man's deep scalp wound will keep him in the hospital 3 days. He's to be released day after tomorrow.
Well, why didn't you say so in the first place? Got his head caught in Yampton's revolving door, huh? Well, that was silly. How'd it happen?
He stooped over to tie his shoe.
With his noodle poked in the revolving door?
Yes. He was about to enter Yampton, see? Just as he got 1 foot inside the little enclosure where the revolving door swings around, he noticed his shoestring was untied. So he stooped over to fix it.
And some halfwit coming out of the store didn't see anybody.
The halfwit coming out of the store couldn't see anybody. The Brickmush man was stooped over. The halfwit was apparently in a hurry because the revolving door swung around 40 miles an hour. I guess the Brickmush man let out a screech you could hear for 40 blocks.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a red-hot tragedy and no mistake.
It's going to be all right, though. Hmm?
His scalp wound will keep him in the hospital 3 days. He's to be released day after tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Thing that beats me is I've been talking about guys getting their head caught in revolving doors for years. Even I learned to imitate guys getting their head caught in revolving doors. And here, by George, it goes to work and happens. No, I wouldn't believe Bluetooth when he told me the news this morning. Bluetooth, I says, you're crazy.
Mm.
Bluetooth, I says, you're crazy.
Mm.
Bluetooth, I says, you're crazy.
Mm.
Bluetooth, I says, you're
crazy. Oh, stop. One suspects one's little boy not beat any too bright.
Give me Aunt Bess's poster card.
Oh.
Meat's not done, Arthur.
I was so excited about the Brickmush man, I never even thought of dinner. No, that's a fact. When Bluetooth Johnson come up to me at school this morning and give me the news, I wouldn't any more believe him than a horse.
What'd you say to him?
Bluetooth, I says, you're crazy.
You want to hear this?
Bess's postal card? Oh, boy. Read it out loud. Hurry.
What's that for?
I'm dying to hear what she's got to say.
I wonder if when they receive postal cards from us, Walter puts on a sarcastic demonstration.
You wrong me, Sadie.
Dear sister and all, thought I would write and see how you are feeling. We are fine, and Walter's kneecap has been very severe on the twinges. We had a very strong wind in this part of the country that was almost a tornado. There was snow and rain and even sleet. Sleet, of course, goes directly to Walter's kneecap. He stayed home from the barber shop 2 days. Hope Victor and Rush are well. Is Uncle Fletcher settled yet, and does he like his new surroundings? Ask him why he don't write. Yunzi has learned to play a piece on the piano that takes 5 flats. Well, just a line. We'll get around to a nice long letter soon. Love, Bess.
The funny thing about the Brickmush man getting his head caught in the revolving door was it didn't knock him unconscious.
Not the slightest little measly word or comment on Aunt Bess's lovely postal card. She went to all the work of sending. Hmm?
A very high-class postal card. I enjoyed it very much. No, Gov, it's a fact. Brickmush man never lost consciousness for a minute. He sat on the sidewalk and howled.
Did he produce the same sound you produce when you give your imitation of a guy getting his head caught in a revolving door?
I suppose.
How's that go?
You've heard me do it.
Yeah, but some of the fine points escape me.
Someday I'm going to describe to Aunt Bess the nice reception her lovely postal card she breaks her back writing and stamping and carrying to the mailbox gets around here.
Rush is going to imitate a guy getting his head cut in a revolving door.
Rush better learn to show a little consideration.
I enjoyed what Aunt Bess had to say, Mom. Sleet going directly to Uncle Walter's kneecap and all. Got a great kick out of it. And you'll see playing a new piece on the piano is fine.
Let's hear a guy getting his head caught in a revolving door, Sam.
I'm not as good at it as Russell Duncan.
Well, go ahead.
Well. Hey! Ouch! Yip! Ee! Ee! Ee!
Bravo!
If you ever heard Russell Duncan do it, you wouldn't give me a nickel.
On the contrary. Wasn't that a capital performance, eh?
Ish.
You'll discourage the artist.
Know what Bluetooth Johnson and myself are going to do this evening, Gov?
Uh-uh.
Call on the Rickmush man at the hospital.
That'll be nice of you.
Yes, it'll be nice of us, and also we'll get a lot of candy, nuts, and fruit.
How so?
The Rickmush man belongs to three separate and distinct clubs around town. Whenever any member of these clubs gets sick, the rest of the members go together and send him junk. Peanuts, popcorn, glazed pineapple, chocolate bars, all such trash as that. The Rickmush man won't have much of an appetite, see? Nobody feels like eating much when they're troubled with a deep scalp wound. Bluetooth Johnson and myself will go to the hospital and be admitted to the bedside. Good evening, Bluetooth. Good evening, Rush. Help yourself to an orange. By George, I certainly was sorry to hear about you getting your head caught in a revolving door. Yes, it was a great tragedy. Care for a banana? Bluetooth here and myself decided we'd stop in at the hospital and see how you were feeling. That was darn nice of you. How about a few raisins and soft-shell pecans? Say, thanks. Yes, it was a great tragedy. I said to my folks,
I said... Oh, what on earth are you talking about?
I'm describing the conversation I'll have with the Rickmush man tonight.
Sound crazy as a horse.
Not at all.
No.
Oh, Sir Gov, it was a very strange thing. For many years, I've been talking about guys getting their head caught in revolving doors. Even learned to imitate guys getting their head caught in revolving doors. And here, by George, somebody I know personally goes to work and gets their head caught in a revolving door. I wouldn't believe Bluetooth this morning when he gave me the news. I told him he was crazy. Bluetooth, I says, you're crazy. Bluetooth, I says, you're crazy.
Look, Harry, let me close my eyes and imagine I'm listening to the Rickmush man who's just got his head caught in Yamilton's revolving door and is sitting on the sidewalk.
Okay.
And then you give your imitation.
Okay.
Shoot, I got my eyes closed.
Hey, oh,
I can see the Rickmush man has played his day.
All right, fellas.
Hey, Mita?
Should be. Let's go to the kitchen.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.
Well, I see by the clock on the wall, there's a dead fly. That means I gotta go. And I want to thank you for listening in to Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program, and I hope you'll come back again. This is John Lovering saying so long for now.